Leadership training has become a thriving business in our culture. Every year, books are published and seminars are held on the subject, and they bring in a lot of money for the self-proclaimed gurus of management. Follow this system, they assure you, and the whole world can be yours. Well, what makes a good leader? I'm sure that if you would look at these books or go to these seminars, they would tell you that self-assurance, assertiveness, vision, courage, communication skills, these are all necessary for a good leader. But I dare say you will probably never see meekness in that list. Meekness is not something that our world honors or respects. If you want to conquer the world, meekness isn't even going to make the list. One author says, "Who wants to be meek?" Meekness implies the picture of a weak, anemic, effeminate sissy. It conjures up someone who's mousy, a Casper milk toast, who just appears and then slides back into the shadows. Someone you can stomp on. Who wants to be meek? And yet Jesus, in the opening words of what we know of as the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5:5, he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." We've been going through these Beatitudes of Jesus in Matthew 5 under the heading, "Your Blessed Life Now." You want to truly be blessed? Jesus describes those who are blessed in these verses. And it's not the kind of blessing we would normally think of. He doesn't say, "Blessed are the rich, the powerful, the brilliant, the highly skilled." He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek." And not only does he say that the meek will be blessed, he says one day they're going to inherit the earth. They're the ones that are going to have it all. Not the self-assertive, not the aggressive, not the ones who push their own agenda, but the meek will inherit the earth. So what does this mean? Let's first look, as we have previously, on the condition of blessing. Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek." What does he mean by weak, meek? I want to begin by what he doesn't mean. Meekness is not weakness. And that's a mistake that many people make when they hear that word. When they hear that somebody is meek, they think of someone who is passive. They think of someone who is weak, someone you can walk all over. And that's certainly not what Jesus is talking about here. Don't confuse this with someone who's wishy-washy, someone who you could knock over with a hard slap of a wet noodle. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about meekness. Nor is it just friendliness and easygoing. Some people are that way. They just kind of roll with it. They go with the flow. They don't cause waves. They're very agreeable. They're very friendly. Some people are about that way by nature. But then again, so are some dogs. So I don't think that's what Jesus means when he says, "Blessed are the meek." In fact, nowhere in Scripture do meek people are portrayed as being spiritless or timid. In fact, the word used here for meekness is the word used for a wild horse that's been broken. A wild horse that's been tamed and domesticated. Now, if you know anything about a horse, horses have strength. One of the most powerful animals God created. But when that strength is under control, now that horse is very useful. And even though it is tamed, it does not lose any of its power. Meekness is strength under control. That's what Jesus is talking about when he speaks of meekness. There's two verses in Proverbs that are very helpful in showing a difference here. Proverbs 16:32 is the first one. Proverbs 16:32. It says, "Better is a patient man than a warrior, one who controls his temper than one who takes a city." That is strength under control. That is someone who is meek. They're powerful, but their power is under control. Now, just turn over a couple of pages. Proverbs 25:28. "Like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control." Here is power out of control. They may be strong physically. They may be strong intellectually. But it's out of control. That's not the blessed person Jesus is speaking of in Matthew 5. A meek person has it under control. Do not confuse a meek person from a victim. Somebody who is submissive because they have no other choice. Those who are meek have the ability to strike back but choose not to. They have the right to retaliate, but they don't. They're not someone who's backed into a corner and has no options. The meek person is someone who could assert themselves, but they choose not to. They're strong, but they decline to domineer. And you know, you'll never find in Scripture where self-assertion is considered a virtue. Now, you'll find it out in the world. Oh, yeah. You've got to assert yourself. You've got to look out for number one. But you won't find that in the Scriptures. I like the way Max Lucado puts it. "Blessed are those who are harnessed. Blessed are those who recognize their God-given responsibilities. Blessed are those who acknowledge that there's only one God and they quit applying for his position. Blessed are those who know what they're on earth for and they set out to do what God has called them to do. Blessed are those who are able to discern what is best." Now, the Greek adjective that is used here by Jesus can also mean gentle. Can mean humble, considerate, courteous. You see here attitudes that apply both in our relationship to God, but also in our relationship to others. But there's one thing that ties all of these things together, and that's the idea of being in control of yourself. I like how William Barclay rewords this verse. "Blessed is the man who has every instinct, every impulse, every passion under control. Blessed is the man who is entirely self-controlled." But then he quickly adds, the moment we've stated that, we see it needs a change. It's not so much the blessing on the one who is self-controlled, for such complete self-control is beyond human capacity. Rather, it is the blessing of the man who is completely God-controlled. For only in his service do we find our perfect freedom, and in doing his will we find our peace. And you'll notice that self-control is the last of the fruit of the Spirit listed in Galatians 5. I find it very ironic, to say the least. Down at Little Galilee Camp, you may know that as they have built the cabins where people stay, they have named each of the cabins after one of the fruit of the Spirit. There's the love cabin, there's the joy cabin, peace, patience, all the way down. So when they built their new dining hall, they named it self-control. Yeah. But self-control is actually spirit control. When we are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, which is how I prefer to say filled with the Spirit, because filled with the Spirit has a lot of other connotations. When we live under His influence, when He is controlling us, then we can be in control of ourselves. That's what Jesus is talking about here. So meekness in the biblical sense is an attitude of the mind marked by humility toward God and compassion, consideration, even courtesy toward others. It radiates into every relationship in our lives. Meekness is a true view of ourselves before God and before others. And it affects how we see everything. We allow God to be God. I love how Max Lucado said, there's one God and we quit applying for His position. But we also are meek toward others. We treat them as they should be treated. You say, how's that? How do I treat somebody who is living in a lifestyle that I can't stand? It's wrong. It's evil. Remember this. God is the one who judges. If you can look at that person and remember, this is a person created in the image of God for whom Christ died, I can treat them with respect. I don't have to agree with them. I don't have to agree with their lifestyle. I don't have to agree with their politics. I don't even have to agree with the team they root for. I can still treat them with respect and honor and courtesy. Why? Because God's going to take care of the other stuff. God's going to judge where judgment is necessary. And He'll give grace and mercy where He can. We're very thankful for the mercy and grace we have received. We're not so quick to give it to others. But God is. So let God take care of that stuff. Let God deal with people that are living a lifestyle that is displeasing to Him. That's not our problem. God did not assign us the responsibility to carry out His justice. The only thing He has assigned us to do is to love people and to tell them about Jesus. That's our job. And when we see who God is and who we are by comparison, it's a lot easier to do. When we acknowledge that God is in control, He is the one working through the various circumstances of life, we can let Him handle what other people do. We can let Him take control of those things. Frankly, the person who is meek is surprised that God accepts him at all and is gratefully humble and wants others to have that same experience. That's the person Jesus is describing here. Now, the Bible gives us a few examples of meekness. In Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek, more so than all which were on the face of the earth." Now, I think you would probably agree that Moses was a great leader. He was brilliant, highly educated, very capable. He is the picture of strength. We think of Charlton Heston standing before Yul Brynner saying, "Let my people go." That's the Moses we think of. The Bible says Moses was meek. Now, does that mean he was weak? Oh, I don't think so. No, Moses demonstrated his meekness by not retaliating when he could have. In fact, when you read that passage in Numbers 12, it is in the context of his brother and sister judging him for the woman he married. Now, Moses, in his position as leader, he could have called them out. He could have gotten even with them, settled the score. But he didn't. He stepped back and let God do it, and God did a much better job. There were times when God said, "I'm ready to wipe these people out and just start over with you, Moses." The self-assertive, aggressive leader would have said, "Let me stand back, God, take care of them. I'm not too fond of them myself." But he didn't. He said, "Oh Lord, show mercy. Show grace." That's a meek person. He had the right, he had the ability, he had the power to take these people on, but he didn't. He said, "God, I'm going to let you do that." That's someone who is genuinely meek. I think the supreme example, though, of meekness is Jesus himself. People often wonder, what kind of person was Jesus? He gives us the only description of himself in Matthew 11:29. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Why? For I am meek and lowly in heart." That word meek is the exact same Greek word in Matthew 5:5. Jesus calls himself meek. And we are to be like him. Consider this description of Jesus that Paul gives in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think equality with God was something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. And being found in the fashion of a man, became obedient even unto death," the death on the cross. You know that phrase where Jesus didn't think equality with God was something to be grasped. I remember learning that in the King James Version. "Thought it not robbery to be equal with God." What does that mean? I never could understand that. What is he talking about? Think of it in terms of a phrase we use a lot, someone that throws their weight around. Jesus had a lot of weight he could throw around, and I'm not talking about how big he was physically. He was God. He never stopped being God the whole time he walked on earth. At any moment, he had the authority, the right, and the power to wipe his enemies out of existence. He could have done anything he wanted. But he didn't throw his weight around. He didn't exercise the power and the authority that he had for his own advantage. That's meekness. That's the idea. We don't push ourselves or our agenda to the front. What was Jesus' motto of life? Doing the Father's will. And that should be ours as well. Say, well, how do we pull it off? What's the secret to the exercise of meekness? Well, I go back to Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. We've been studying the fruit of the Spirit in our Thursday night Bible studies. Something about fruit. It just happens naturally. You ever go out when the weather is better and you go up by a tree and you hear a tree going, "Come on, fruit." Anybody ever had that experience? I haven't either. You don't see trees trying hard to make fruit. It just happens. It's natural. When we allow the Spirit of God to live within us and to be under His influence, He produces the fruit. It is both the product of His work and the proof that He's there. But it is not from our trying harder. These Beatitudes that we're looking at here in Matthew 5, this is not a list of New Year's resolutions. This is not a list for you to try harder. And once you've got poor in spirit, now you work on mourning. And once you got that taken care of, now you try being meek. No. This is the character that the Spirit of God is creating within us. We allow Him to work. We allow Him to be God. And we will see this meekness being developed in our lives. Now, we've got to be careful that we don't practice false meekness or false humility. John Stott speaks of this when he confesses, "I am quite happy myself to recite the general confession in church and call myself a miserable sinner. It causes me no great problem. I can take it in stride. But let somebody come up to me after church and call me a miserable sinner, and I want to punch him in the nose." In other words, I am not prepared to allow other people to think or speak of me what I have just not acknowledged about myself before God. There is a basic hypocrisy here, and there always is when meekness is absent. True meekness is not only before God, but it's before others as well. It's going to affect every area of our lives. And it's also a teachable spirit. A know-it-all is not meek. We're always willing for the Lord to show us something new, show us something different. All right, so what is meant when Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth? What is the consequence of being blessed in this verse? The key word here is inherit. Inherit the earth. Jesus does not say the meek will conquer the earth. Jesus does not say that the meek will earn the earth. Jesus says that the meek will inherit the earth. What does that word mean? It means literally to receive something of considerable value that has not been earned. That last phrase is very important. It has not been earned. If you get an inheritance from your parents or your grandparents or some wealthy uncle somewhere, what did you do to earn that inheritance? Answer is nothing. You were born into the family. You didn't choose that. And except in some silly Hollywood plot in which some heir has to complete some ridiculous challenge in order to get the inheritance, that's not real life. In real life, inheritance is not something you earn. It's not something you work for. It's something you're given. And that's the inheritance we have from God. This same word used here in Matthew 5 is also used in Hebrews 6:12. The author says, "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised." Not work for it, not earn it, inherit. We see this in Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You can probably quote it by heart. "It is by grace we have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our very salvation is by the grace of God. It is a gift, not something we can earn. And the same is true here. This consequence of being meek, we will inherit. And what do we inherit? We inherit the earth. Doesn't say we inherit heaven. It says we inherit the earth. Where we are right now. And not just some little tiny piece of it. We will inherit the whole thing. You say, well, when's that going to happen? Well, it's going to happen when Christ comes back. When Jesus returns to this earth, He is going to set up His kingdom. It is going to be a global kingdom. He will accomplish what none of the emperors of history have ever been able to pull off. He will have a global empire. He will rule the whole world, and guess what? You and I are going to rule and reign with Him. And it's not, again, the assertive. It's not the aggressive. We're not going to conquer the earth. He is. We're just along for the ride. And we'll be a part of His kingdom. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, to these, the powerless and the disenfranchised, the very earth belongs. Those who possess it now by violence and injustice shall lose it. And those who have utterly renounced it, who are meek to the point of the cross, shall rule the new earth. When the kingdom of heaven descends, the face of the earth will be renewed, and it will belong to the flock of Jesus. When the kingdom finally comes, the meek shall possess the earth. You say, well, that's nice. What am I supposed to do now? How am I supposed to make it in this world? Because in this world, Jesus is definitely not reigning. And it's full of violence and injustice and sin. How am I supposed to do that? Well, I want to call your attention back as we close to the scripture that was read for us earlier, Psalm 37. Take a look again, Psalm 37. You'll notice Jesus was echoing the phrase in this passage, but I think there's more to it than that. Let's look at the last verse that was read, verse 11. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. I got a feeling Jesus may have been, you know, reading Psalm 37 in his devotions before he gave the Beatitudes, because that's almost a direct quote. But you know what? I believe that the first 10 verses tell us how to be meek. I think it's a description of the truly meek person. Listen. Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. So don't worry about the wicked. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him. And He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still. Wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. For the evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will what? Inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. You will look for them, but they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. How do we act as the meek? You trust in the Lord. You keep doing good, even if everybody around you is doing bad. You commit your way to Him. Don't try to take vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You let Him deal with those things. Somebody's treating you wrong, tell God on them and let him handle it. Somebody is flouting God's laws and living a lifestyle that's immoral, let God deal with it. He will. Trust me, he'll do a better job than we can. We trust in the Lord, commit our ways to him, keep doing the right thing, even if everybody else is doing the wrong thing, and let God take care of the wrongdoers. That's what it means to be meek. Doesn't mean we're wimpy. Doesn't mean that we're wishy-washy. Doesn't mean that we're weak. It means we're allowing God to be God. And we're doing what God has told us to do. And let him do what only he can do. And when we do that, we will enjoy great peace. And we will inherit the earth. We will be the kind of people that God is transforming into the image of Christ. And one day we will rule and reign with him. In short, we'll become like Jesus. That's what it means to be his disciple. And that's how we live our blessed life now.